welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be.
Mark cried when he honored his sister. So don't take a voter now. That's just going to be tragic. And Gail, his wife. So, yeah. Thing I want to say about Pete. Oh, Jesus. It's the allergies. He has an unbelievable gift of wisdom. And I said it at our pre-service meeting. He just shared a word of encouragement to our team that if you desire the spiritual gift of wisdom, then I encourage you after the service and just say, Pete, would you lay hands on me? I want to receive that gift. He served as an elder for as long as I've been pastoring, which is 25 years. So we made a good team back in the day. Okay, so let's take a joke. Mark, you got one? Was anyone here last week and caught Mark's joke where he talks about we're from down under and we're hanging on upside down? You did. Did anyone laugh? Because it kind of went really quiet in here, and so... No, you didn't laugh? No. Okay. So we're upping the Australian contingency in here, so I just got to say, look out, Americans. Yes, we broke ground, but it's the sewer line. So I don't know if you want to clap and cheer for the sewer line. That's like really important. Yeah. I was like, yes, we're digging dirt to, you know, be able to flush toilets. Yes, there you go. So super exciting. I took Pete and Gail there. And if you guys have been to the building, when you come up the driveway, you can normally hear birds chirping and it's beautiful. And it's quiet, and you can just feel God's presence, and you're like, thank you, Lord, for this land. Only we drove up, and it was like jackhammering and, you know, super loud, and it's like, what? But it is exciting, so thank you to everyone who's partnering with us. Philippians 2, verse 13 is the key text, and don't worry, I'm not just going to do one verse. I will read it in context, because if I just take the text, I'm left with a... con. But I want to highlight this and then I'll read it in context. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." It is God who works in and through you and I to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And the key thought from this verse is, Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me so you can accomplish what you want through me? Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me today so that you can accomplish what you want through me? Philippians was written by Paul, and he wrote this book when he was in a prison in Rome, and it's actually written to the church that he helped start in Philippi, and we know this because we read it in Acts 16. So now let's read 13 in context. If you got your Bibles, and I pray that you do, if you got your Bibles, you'll see it on the screen. And just as a way of encouragement, if you don't have an actual physical Bible, go out and buy one today, because there might just come a day where you can't access it online. Philippians 2, 12 to 17. And because I'm a female and I like to add a few extra words, I'm reading from the Amplified version. How many read the Amplified? Oh, yes. All the women. Sorry, Gary, if you put your hand up then. Didn't mean to call you a girl today at all. Jeffrey's the Amplified as well. There we go. It's a manly version as well. Philippians 2, reading verse 12 to 17. Well, actually, I'm going to stop at verse 13. So then, my dear ones, just as you've always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that I might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. If you missed last week, Pastor Mark preached an awesome message on the role of the Holy Spirit through salvation. Verse 13, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work. That is strengthening, energizing, creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for His good pleasure. Isn't that incredible? The role of the Holy Spirit in salvation is the indwelling, and then comes the infilling. Check out last week's sermon for context for that. Today I want to talk about how He now works in and through us for His good purpose. And then Paul goes on to explain in verse 14 the how and the why we accomplish verse 13. He says, do everything without murmuring. Okay. Do everything without murmuring or questioning the province of God, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless, guileless, innocent, and uncontaminated children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation. How many know that our world right now needs to see a few Christians that are blameless, guileless, innocent, uncontaminated, that they were without blemish, even though the world that we live in is pretty crooked and pretty spiritually perverted right now? Why? So that among whom you are seen as bright lights, beacon shining out clearly in a world of darkness, holding out and offering to everyone the word of life. Doesn't matter whether you think they're close to getting saved or far away from salvation, may we see people the way God sees people. Holding out to everyone the word of life, so that in the day of Christ, I will have reason to rejoice greatly, because I did not run my race in vain, nor labor without result. How many would love that to be your prayer? That when you stand before Jesus, there's not an ounce of I ran or I worked in vain, but instead it's like, no, I did it all for the glory and the goodness of God. And then verse 17, but even amongst all that, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, for preaching the message of salvation, still I rejoice and share my joy with you all. One incredible text written from prison to a church in Philippi. And let's come back to verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His purpose. In other words, Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me so you can accomplish what you want through me? And I'll lay context here. Paul is teaching that there's a beautiful exchange. There's a divine exchange. Great name for a church. But there's also this divine human partnership in that we participate in obedience. The one time it's okay to get a participation award is right here. We don't just want to hand out participation awards on the soccer field, you know, yay, you showed up. But in this case, that's actually okay. Our job in all of this is our participation in obedience. In other words, what do we have to bring to the table, to this divine human partnership, is that our partnership is that of obedience. And it comes with a posture of surrender. But ultimately it is who? It is the Holy Spirit who initiates and sustains that obedience. So from this verse in Philippians, we understand that God is both the source for us to desire, when it said to will, and the ability to act, to do His will and according to His purpose. Why is this distinction so important? Why would I take a moment to labor on it? Because it guards against legalism and passiveness. On the one hand, what is legalism? I can start to think that somehow my effort and my labor and the work that I do is earning me Browning points, is earning me favor, that somehow I am more holy than someone else because of the work that I do for the Lord. legalism. It's thinking of myself as having more of a part through my works than actually that which the Holy Spirit should be getting the credit for. So perhaps you grew up in a church where you were taught that if you sin, you can go to someone, you can confess your sin, and they will tell you the 3-4 things that you need to do in order to be forgiven of your sins. That is legalism. That is a works-orientated thing. The only person who can forgive you of your sins is Jesus Christ. No human can tell you what you need to do in order to be forgiven. That's on this side. But then equally so, unhealthy, is passiveness. We live in an area where 5-point Calvinism is pretty dominant in the culture of a lot of Christians. And so we have been taught, if they're meant to get saved, they will. But that it would be contrary to Scripture, that you are taking your participation in the process out. Just on the legalism side, it's all about me and my participation. But here on the passiveness side, it's, well, if God wants to save them, he will. I don't need to do anything. If God wants to heal them, he will. I don't need to do anything. Or perhaps you grew up in this super hyper extreme Pentecostal environment where it's just about the power of God. My finances are in disarray. Well, I'm just going to pray and believe for the power of God to rectify my finances. Live by a budget, honey. You know, that's going to help with your finances. Do you know what I'm saying? There's not a passiveness. And neither is there a legalism in Philippians 2:13. It is a beautiful human-divine partnership in which you and I partner with him through our obedience in a posture of surrender. It is the Holy Spirit's power through us, through our participation and our obedience. That is why we ask the question, Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me so you can accomplish what you want through me? Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me? What is it that you need to do in me today so that you can accomplish what you want through me? Because there is a generation of young people who need your obedience today. There is a generation of young people who need your sacrifice. There is a pouring out of spirit amongst our teenagers in a way that's unprecedented. So, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want to do in me so that you can accomplish what you want through me? And then verse 13, it ends with, to fulfill whose good purpose? Your good purpose? No, his good purpose. And there's such a helpful reminder that the work that the Holy Spirit does in us serves a far more larger purpose than just self. But it's about kingdom-minded principles. It's about, God, what do you want to do across this earth? And it helps me shift my perspective from, what am I trying to accomplish? What am I trying to accomplish in my business? What am I trying to accomplish in my family? What am I trying to accomplish, fill in the dots? To Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to accomplish through me? I've had 3 life-changing dreams that I just want to share quickly. The first was my encounter with Jesus. Dreams, visions, you can call it what you want, but it's how I became a Christian. It's how I surrendered my life to Jesus because he showed up in a dream and everyone else, every other false religion just fell to the ground. And I got out of my bed, I knelt before the Lord and I surrendered my life to him. I encountered Jesus and I can't unencounter something that I've already encountered. Never look back. And I've served him every day since. My second was my call to ministry. I had a dream that I would serve the Lord overseas. I thought it was Belfast Island. For those of you who know me, geography is never my strong point. Walnut Creek, California, they're close. But in my dream, I saw tension. I saw, so what I thought in my head, it was the Protestants against the Catholics back in Belfast. You know, this street was against this street. They literally lived in division. Little did I know it was political division, Holy Spirit and women. But, you know, here we are serving the Lord. But that's how, after that, I went to Bible college and I have been pastoring since 1999. And then more recently was my third vision. It was about a year ago and it took me a while before I was able to share it with you guys. But it was about, it's time, Ellie, to prepare the church for the harvest that is coming. And in my vision, in my dream, I was on a plane, and the plane was about to crash. And so in my faith, I prayed, and this huge angel came, wrapped its wings around, and the people that were sitting in the rows near me were all going to be saved and rescued because of my prayer. But then this teenage kid got up, stood in front of the plane, and he said, it's not just enough that this small group of people will come to know Jesus and will be saved. And he began to speak the word of Jesus, and he began to declare the goodness of Jesus. And then in my vision, these angels came. One came at the front of the plane, the tail, and two on the wings. And the entire plane landed safely. And the 250 people on that plane gave their life to Jesus. And the Lord said to me, Ellie, are you ready to disciple them? And he showed me a whole bunch of your faces. And he goes, you need to prepare them and equip them to run a small group so that they can disciple the harvest that is coming. And Pastor Mike has always said the cost of revival is discipleship. And how exciting is this, that on Tuesday night, we had our very first leadership development class with a bunch of people. And I tell you what, I was just blown away by the caliber and the quality of people that got on that Zoom call that have committed the next 10 weeks to be equipped so that they can effectively disciple the people that the Lord is bringing in. Could I just honor Christian and Andre? We labored over the content, so I know the content is good. But I tell you what, how Christian led an online class, I felt old just for a moment. She's sharing a screen and bringing up like Google Docs, and I'm like, wow, I was like so impressed. I don't like Google Docs. And so we were sitting at dinner one night, and Oscar and Beckett are calling me really old because A, I'm over 30, but also because I don't know how to work Google Docs, so thank you. I am beginning to see the fulfillment of that vision. Holy Spirit worked in me to accomplish what he wanted through me. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to pour out unprecedented. I pray that you would hunger. I pray that you would thirst. I pray that you would lean in. I pray that you would have an expectation in your heart to see the harvest that he has prepared. I don't have to plead for it. I come into agreement. Amen. May we pray. Could you imagine if every single one of us, every single morning when we woke up, we prayed, Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me so that you can accomplish what you want through me? We would change the East Bay. This place would be turned upside down with the goodness and the power of God. Three takeaway points from us being obedient to this divine human partnership. It's not legalistic. And it's not passive, but it's just this beautiful place where you and I get a participation award for being obedient to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through. The first one, spiritual authority. Spiritual authority comes because of the work the Holy Spirit does in and through us. Everything flows from the hidden life with God, not from your public activity. What is done in private is in preparation for the public. The worship team this morning didn't come to perform, didn't come for a public activity, but they worshiped because of their private time with God, because of that secret communion with God. And what you see comes out as an overflow of that. Even in Matthew 6, when the disciples said to Jesus, how should we pray? And he teaches them and he goes, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, and he goes on. But before that, he actually says, when you pray, go where? Into your private room, close the door behind you, and pray to your Father who is in secret, because your Father who is in secret will see and he will reward. Everything of our life flows from the hidden, the private, not from the public. See, when we're neglecting our secret communion with God, you become spiritually dry, no matter how outwardly fruitful you might appear. If you are neglecting the hidden secret, just me and God, no distractions. If you're neglecting that time, it doesn't matter what appears to be fruitful in your life, you are actually spiritually dry. No spiritual authority in a sermon becomes a TED talk, becomes a motivational speech, becomes a, you know, coaching. No spiritual authority in worship becomes me-centered. How was I blessed today? How was me? And if someone was to stand on the stage and lead worship and I'd not been in the secret place, it would come across as a performance. It would just be songs that we would sing. The spiritual authority comes because the Holy Spirit works in and through. Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest, said this: "The measure of the worth of our public life is the depth of our private life with God." The worth of your public life depends on the depth of your private life with God. The secret place is in preparation for the public. So that's why we pray, Holy Spirit, what do you need to do in me today so that you can accomplish what you want through me? First thing, spiritual authority. The second thing is transformation. Transformation only occurs because of the work the Holy Spirit does in and through us. You see, it's in the secret place that we're going to learn that it's not about performance. It's not about having the appearance of public life and activity that looks good on the outside, but the inside is rotten. The inside is dead. The inside is dry. The inside is just lacking the presence. Transformation is from performance to presence, presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's here that we are transformed. Right? It is here that we are refined. It is here that we become more like Christ continually. Because it is a transformation of the heart and the mind and the soul. And there is no human that can bring about that transformation. It only comes because the Holy Spirit is at work in and through us. For those of you who know the story about the pink building, if you don't really quick, I genuinely believe God spoke to me about this pink building. And I can go through a list of things that God did that I was like, it is undeniable that the Lord has his hand upon that building and that building is for us. Until it wasn't. No human words, as wise as you all were. Ellie, the faith that was stirred up in your heart for the pink building led me to have faith for this building. Ellie, this building that God has for us is so much better than the pink building. There's dirt, there's land. And in the wise words of Casey Ellis, God's not making any more dirt. Those words were true. Those words were wise. But the only thing that transformed my heart, my mind, my spirit, my soul, was the presence of God. He was the only one that brought me to a place of, okay, God. Not my will, but your will be done. Okay, God, I will not understand this side of eternity, why you chose to work that way, but I allowed my mind and my heart to be transformed. If you're in a place where you're asking questions of the Lord and people are giving you wise advice, that's awesome. But I want to encourage you, go into the presence of the Holy Spirit and allow him to transform, because that is the lasting and the transformation that you and I all need. Spiritual authority, transformation, and the third one is refreshing and renewal. That refreshing and that renewal only comes as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. 2 years ago, I preached a message on digging spiritual wells, and I want to remind you that it's equally important today that we dig those spiritual wells, the spiritual well of fasting and praying. You dig that not when you need it, but you dig it in the good times. If you have neglected a season of praying and fasting, can I encourage you to begin to dig that well again? The well of forgiveness and letting go of offenses. I dig that well now, prior to me needing to forgive you, prior to me needing to let go of offenses. the well of scripture memorization and meditation. I want to encourage you, if you're not reading your scripture daily, if you're not meditating on it, if you're not memorizing verses, begin to dig those wells. Digging the well of solitude and silence, where I learn just to be still in his presence. If you've never encountered God's presence in that way, I encourage you to begin to seek that, begin to desire that. Oh Lord, that I could come before you and I don't need to say anything. And I just know that you're close. And I just know that you are near. The well of being planted in a local church and engaged, so that when those offenses do come, when you do go, oh, that person rubbed me up the wrong way, instead of packing your bags and going down to the next church, to the next church, to the next church, that you would dig that well now of being planted and engaged, because the refreshing and the renewal comes because we dig those wells in the good times. And so when the testing times come, when the trying times, when everything is tested, which it will be, when your faith is tested, when your relationships are tested, come back and draw from the well that you have already dug. And that is when you experience the refreshing and the renewal that comes from that. And so we don't quit. I love how Paul says in Philippians 2:17, even if I am being poured out as a drink offering, what do you think that means? Even if I am giving so much that there's nothing left inside of me, he says at the end, still I rejoice and still I share my joy with you all. You only get to say that if you've experienced the refreshing and the refilling and the renewing that comes from allowing Holy Spirit to work in and through you. I'm going to close with this question that I'd like you to reflect on this week. So I want you to write it down. Holy Spirit, am I neglecting your work in me, or am I neglecting your work through me? Am I neglecting your work in me? Meaning, am I not going into the secret place? Or am I neglecting your work through me? Meaning, I'm not activating my gifts. Over the summer, I watched my son put in 40 to 45 miles of running every single week. Some mornings he would get up at 6 a.m. and they just run. Forrest Gump, what are you doing? I'm running. Some Saturdays they're running 10 miles at a 6:30 pace. Day after day after day, resting on Sundays only. He ran so much, his toenail fell off. I mean, like, who does that? But you know what? In those base miles, there was no parents on the, well, we see him at the start and the finish and maybe once or twice in the middle, right? For cross-country running. There was no parents there cheering, you've got this, even though they're coming like second last. You can beat the person in front of you. There was no one clapping. There was no one cheering. There was no sideline. There was no public arena. It was just the private base miles, where it's just the coach, it's just the teammates, day after day after day, running to get those base miles so that when the race came, they're not as likely to get injured. So when the race comes, they can do what they trained for. Am I neglecting the secret place? Meaning, am I neglecting the base miles? Am I neglecting just being in his presence without anyone watching, without a public arena? Or am I neglecting the public where I'm allowing him to work through me? So imagine if my son, after all summer running 40 to 45 miles every single week, gets to that first race. 300, if you've never seen a cross-country race, come with me, right? It's remarkable. It really is something to behold. 300 teenage boys line up on the field and they get from across the field to a narrowing right down. So imagine my son putting in all that work through the entire summer, gets to the race and goes, I'm not going to race today. Not because I'm injured. Yeah, I just don't feel like it. Am I neglecting what the Holy Spirit wants to do through me? There are kids that didn't put in the miles during the summer. There are kids who turned up to the race not having prepared. They're quickly injured, and they are certainly not shaving off a minute from their race time this time last year. Church, are we neglecting the work of the Spirit in us? Am I neglecting the secret place? The place where it's just me and God? The place where my spiritual authority comes from, the place where transformation occurs, and the place where I'm being refreshed and renewed? Have I become so busy that I'm trying to work out on my own the will and the purpose of God for my life that I've run dry because I've neglected the secret place? Am I valuing performance over presence? Or am I neglecting the public space and not allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me? There are spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has given you, and they're laying dormant because you are not allowing Holy Spirit to activate you, because you are not allowing Holy Spirit to work through you. At some point, we may have decided the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in me is just for my family. My family's saved. My family's blessed. My family's in good shape. Do you know that there's a church community that your gifts are actually for? If you were to read Corinthians and Ephesians, it always says those spiritual gifts are for what? Are for others. Are you neglecting the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do through you? Because you're not allowing Him to move through you. I want to close in prayer. And I'd like everyone just to close their eyes and to bow their heads. If you've been neglecting the secret place, then I want to encourage you, starting tonight, starting tomorrow morning, set the time aside. We had dinner with someone from our church last week. She gets up at 4:45 a.m. so she can have a time with Jesus, because she will not compromise that quiet time before she works out, before she has breakfast, before she goes to work. If you've been neglecting that secret place, your life is probably a little dry. It's time to get back. Or perhaps you've been neglecting the public space, and you're just sitting on the knowledge that He's given you in the quiet time. You're just sitting with this wealth of information, and there's no outlet. You're not serving in the local church. You're not blessing anyone else outside of your immediate family. And I wonder if the Holy Spirit's starting to say, you know what? It's time. It's time. You were never meant to just hear from me and receive from me just for you. You were meant to be a blessing to others. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you're here today, that you're moving in the hearts of your people. And Lord, that you are speaking to us, and we give you full permission, Holy Spirit, to speak to us. We repent if we've neglected the secret place. We ask for your forgiveness. And if we're living just for ourselves and just for our family, then Lord, we repent of that today, because we realize there is a lost and dying world that desperately need what you have been showing us in our quiet time, the dreams and the visions that you've been giving us, the wealth of information and the knowledge that we have of Scripture. Oh, for letting those beautiful gifts that you've given us lay dormant, we repent of that today. And we pray, Holy Spirit, would you use us again? Would you come and burn like a fire in our heart again? Oh, Holy Spirit, would you consume our thinking? Help us see the people that you want us to minister to share your goodness with. And if you don't know Jesus, if you've never surrendered your life to Him, if you've never surrendered ownership to Him, if you don't know where you stand before your Maker, if you don't know where you stand before Jesus, if you're unsure whether you're saved, born again, we'd love the opportunity to pray for you. And if you would say, Ellie, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to invite Him to my heart. I want to begin a new life. I want to live in obedience and surrender to Him. Then would you just lift your hand? I'll see it, and we're going to pray for you after the service. Awesome. Awesome. Best thing you can do is surrender your life to Jesus. Amen. We're going to have our prayer partners on the side of each of the screens. And if you want prayer for anything, and for those of you who need a
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.